Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on March 12th, 2014. This is the start of a series of programs that's going to be a reading of the book Romanism and the Reformation by Grattan Guinness, H. Grattan Guinness, by Tom Fress of Inquisition Update of First Amendment Radio. Hope you enjoy the broadcast. Oh, I forgot one thing. You can go to archives.org and you can download a PDF file. That is the PDF file we're using to read this book. There's more than one up on the internet, but we're going to archives.org and you'll be able to follow along in the book while Tom reads the book.
Woman Rides the Beast, and we're moving to another book today, one that I am so anxious to get into. The title of this book is Romanism and the Reformation, a great Protestant work by one of the greatest Protestant preachers and evangelists and missionaries in world history, Henry Grattan Guinness. Henry Grattan Guinness. And this book, I either cannot find my hard copy or I don't yet have a hard copy of this book, so I'm reading an online version. And because it is online, you can dial it up and read right along with me. Simply go to your Google search engine and type in the title of the book, Romanism and the Reformation. Romanism and the Reformation. And scroll down through the first selections there until you come to the one entitled archives.org and the University of Toronto. Archives.org, University of Toronto. And click on that link and it will open up this book. And at the bottom of the page, you can click on the full screen to make the book very easy to read. And in order to change, turn the pages, simply click on the page and it will turn. It's like reading a virtual book right on the internet. And that's how I'll be conducting this reading, since I cannot find my hard copy of this book. So, with that, I'll begin. While you're bringing up this book on your computer, if you wish to read along, I'm going to read briefly from the Wikipedia page on Henry Grattan Guinness to give you a little background. Henry Grattan Guinness, Doctor of Divinity, was born August 11, 1835, and died June 21, 1910. He was an Irish Protestant Christian preacher, evangelist, and author. He was the great evangelist of the Evangelical Awakening and preached during the Ulster Revival in 1859, which drew thousands to hear him. He was responsible for training and sending hundreds of what he called faith missionaries all over the world. He was a true Bible Protestant. And here's a quote from the Dublin Daily Express, written in 1858. Quote, Mr. Guinness preached yesterday in York Street Chapel. The attendance was greater than on any former occasion. In the evening, it amounted to 1,600, and if there were a place large enough, five times that number would have been present to hear this highly gifted preacher. The interest which he has excited has daily increased and probably will continue to do so during his labors in Dublin. An enormous crowd pressed for admittance. Judges, members of Parliament, orators, fellows of colleges, lights of the various professions, the rank and fashion of the metropolis have been drawn out. Among them, the Lord Lieutenant, the Lord Chancellor, and the Lord Justice of Appeal, etc. He was the great Protestant orator and contemporary with R.W. Thompson, whose books we recently read here on Inquisition Update, The Footprints of the Jesuits, and The Papacy and the Civil Power. What I appreciate the most about this book and about Henry Grattan Guinness is that he literally explodes the futurist apostasy that has taken over the Protestant churches today. Futurism is so widely preached and so widely believed in the Protestant churches today that it is considered to be the orthodox teaching. But when we look into futurism, we find out that it is very, very new. And it is contrary to the beliefs of not only the Protestant reformers, but of every Christian from the late 1800s all the way back to Christ. Those Christians were historicists, not futurists. And what they believed was that the papacy is the Antichrist of the Bible. And this was the knowledge that brought about the Protestant Reformation. The fact of the matter is, if you do not believe that the papacy is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist of the Bible, if you do not see in the prophecies in the Bible of Antichrist the reality that the Pope is that man of sin, then you simply cannot call yourself a Protestant. And since the Protestant churches have repudiated that knowledge, though they call themselves Protestant, they hold Roman Catholic beliefs, because futurism, as is taught in all the Protestant churches today, denies that the papacy is that man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist of the Bible, and that the Antichrist doesn't come until the last 7 years before Christ returns. And so, therefore, the door is held wide open for the Protestant churches to repudiate their Protestant faith and to return to unity and communion with the Roman Catholic Church, that very synagogue of Satan itself. It's a hideous reality, and we count on this great man of God, this great Protestant preacher and author, Henry Grattan Guinness, to set the record straight and to renounce futurism and to restore the historical belief of all God's people throughout history. The return to the belief that the Antichrist of the Bible is none other than the papacy of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, hopefully, you've had time to Google the title of this book, Romanism and the Reformation, and you have found the selection there for the Toronto University, and you have this book now before you in full screen, and we'll begin the reading. Romanism and the Reformation from the Standpoint of Prophecy is the full title of this book. The author again, H. Grattan Guinness, Doctor of Divinity. Living in a time when futurism had already begun its dastardly work, and H. Grattan Guinness took it upon himself to denounce futurism as heresy and as a repudiation of the Protestant Reformation, and a shame to the blood that was shed by the Protestant reformers to bring the truth to the world. Now, the preface of the book reads thus. The following lectures were delivered by request under the auspices of the Protestant Educational Institute at Exeter Hall in the spring of this year, and this year was 1887. That institute exists to do a much-needed work, to keep alive, especially in the hearts of the rising generation, some measure of intelligent sympathy with the Protestant traditions of our country. England's Protestantism has long been England's glory and the direct cause of her unrivaled prosperity and peculiar preeminence among the nations of Europe. That Protestantism is now sustaining a double attack from without and from within. Yet few seem fully alive to the danger. The late Lord Beaconfield saw it clearly enough, however, quote, "Your empire and your liberties are more in danger at this moment," he said, "than when Napoleon's army of observation was encamped at Boulogne," unquote. What would he have said had he lived to see the present position of affairs? The Reformation of the 16th century, which gave birth to Protestantism, was based on Scripture. It gave back to the world the Bible. It taught the Scriptures. It exposed the errors and corruptions of the Roman Catholic Church by the use of the sword of the Spirit. It applied the prophecies and accepted their practical guidance. Such Reformation work requires to be done afresh. We have suffered prophetic anti-papal truth to be too much forgotten. This generation is dangerously latitudinarian, that means liberal, indifferent to truth and error, on points on which Scripture is tremendously decided and absolutely clear. These lectures, simple and popular as they are, will, it is hoped, open the minds to perceive that the Bible gives no uncertain sound as to Romanism, and that those who will be guided by its teachings must shun an apostasy against which the sorest judgments are denounced. The lectures are given as delivered, with the exception of the first and the last, which have been extended and modified. In recasting and enlarging the opening lecture on the Daniel 4 view and the closing one on the Reformation, I have availed myself of the valuable help of my beloved wife, who has for many years been my fellow laborer, both in literary and evangelistic work. I shall rejoice if these lectures obtain a wide circulation, for they contain, I am sure, truth for the times, truth deeply and increasingly needed, not only for the preservation of the civil and religious liberties of our country and empire, but for the practical guidance of the people of God in these last days. Signed, H. Grattan Guinness, the author of this book. Now we'll begin with the first chapter. The first lecture is entitled The Daniel Foreview of Romanism. Did you know that the prophet Daniel foresaw the rise of the Roman Catholic Church? That's right, Daniel the prophet. And not only Daniel, but the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul. And this is what we're going to discover from this book. The Protestant reformers were absolutely correct. They saw in the Bible, in prophecy, and verified in history, that the papacy is, was, and always will be that man of sin, that son of perdition, the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist. And now, H. Grattan Guinness is going to prove it. He says, 50 years ago, the eminent statesman Sir Robert Peel said, with remarkably clear foresight, quote, "The day is not distant, and it may be very near, when we shall all have to fight the battle of the Reformation over again," unquote. "That day has come," says Guinness. "It has been upon us for some time. It has found us unprepared, And as a result, the battle is to some extent going against us. More than three centuries of emancipation from the yoke of Rome, 300 years of Bible light and liberty, had made us overconfident and led us to underestimate the power and influence of the deadliest foe, not only of the gospel of God, but also of Protestant England. Britain's honorable distinction of being the leading witness among the nations for the truth of the gospel and against the errors of Romanism had come to be lightly esteemed among us. Our fathers won this distinction through years of sore struggle and strife. They purchased it with their best blood and prized it as men prize that which cost them dear. It had cost us nothing. We were born into it. We knew not its value, by contrast, as they did. In the early part of this century, the power of Rome was in these lands a thing of the past, and it seemed to be fast decaying even in other lands. The notion grew up among us that there was no need to fear any revival of that deadly upas tree, which is the blight of all that is great and good, pure and prosperous. The light of true knowledge had forever dispelled the dark fogs of superstition, so it was supposed. Medieval tyrannies and cruelties, cloaked under a pretense of religion, could never again obtain a foothold in these lands of light and liberty. We might despise and deride the corruptions and follies of Rome, but as to dreading her influence, no. She was too far gone and too feeble to inspire fear or even watchfulness. This was all a delusion, and we've been roughly undeceived. In other words, we've been rudely reawakened. The difficult and dangerous crisis through which England is now passing is the direct result of the course of actions taken under this delusion, and God only knows what the ultimate consequences may be. Isn't it interesting, I'll just stop and add, isn't it interesting right here that Henry Grattan Guinness uses the word delusion? He will send them strong delusion that they will believe a lie. What is that strong delusion? That the Pope is the man of God. That the Pope is the vicar of Christ. And that we ought to reunite with the papacy. Which Henry Grattan Guinness says, as did all the Protestant reformers, as did all Christians prior to the Protestant Reformation, that the papacy was the man of sin. The son of perdition, that wicked one who had deceived the whole world. This is no light thing that we're discussing in this book. This is the most important message you will ever hear on Inquisition Update. And this delusion that Christians ought to reunite with the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist is the very power and foundation of the New World Order. That the New World Order is simply the restoration on a global scale of the Old World Order that God liberated us from with the Protestant Reformation, the knowledge of the Word of God. We are undoing, we are placing shame and derision and refutation of all the martyrs' blood of Jesus. By believing what has now become orthodox in the Protestant churches, that Romanism is just another denomination of Christianity, and that the Pope has so much power and influence, a Christian man, that he can unite all Christians together in a global religion. The grand delusion. God has placed a grand delusion that we should believe a lie. And only God's elect will not be deceived. He says again, this was all a delusion, and we have been rudely awakened. The difficult and dangerous crisis through which England is now passing is the direct result of the course of action taken under this delusion. And God only knows what the ultimate consequences may be. I'll tell you what the ultimate consequences may be. The Pope is going to rule the world. The Pope already does rule the world. The Antichrist of the Bible already rules the world and claims all of us, every man, woman, and child on this planet, to be his slave subject. And all who have peace with that, whether they know it or not, are at war with the throne of Almighty God. Continuing, he says, a serpent may be scotched, yet not killed. It may retain life enough to turn and inflict on its foe a fatal wound. The ground may be purged from a destructive weed, but the little remnants left behind may sprout and spread so as speedily to pervade the plot anew. It has been thus with Romish influence in Protestant England. Let facts speak. 50 years ago, there were not 500 Roman priests in Great Britain. Now there are 2,600. 50 years ago, there were not 500 chapels. Now there are 1,575. 50 years ago, there were no monasteries at all in Britain. Now there are 225. There were even then 16 convents. But now there are over 400 of these barred and bolted impenetrable prisons in which 15,000 English women are kept prisoners at the mercy of a celibate clergy who have power, unless their behests are obeyed, to inflict on these hapless and helpless victims torture under the name of penance. 50 years ago, there were but 2 colleges in our land for the retaining of Roman Catholic priests, of men bound by oath to act in England as the agents of a foreign power, the one great object of which is avowed to be the dismemberment of our empire and the ruin of our influence in the world. Now there are 29 such schools. And strangely of all, England, who once abolished monasteries and appropriated to national uses the ill-gotten gains of Rome, is now actually endowing Romanism in her empire to the extent of over millions of money per annum. The exact amount is £1,052,657 a year. Results even more serious have arisen from the dropping on the part of evangelical Christianity of its distinctive testimony against Roman doctrine and practice. An apostasy has taken place in the Reformed Church of England itself, and multitudes of its members, instructed in the true nature and history of the Church of Rome, and ignorant of the prophetic teachings of Scripture about it, have rejoiced in a return to many of the corruptions of doctrine and practice which their forefathers died to abolish. Our Reformed faith is thus endangered, both without and from within, and it can be defended only by a resolute return to the true witness borne by saints and martyrs of other days. We must learn afresh from divine prophecy God's estimate of the character of the Church of Rome, if we would be moved afresh to be witnesses for Christ as against this great apostasy. We've come upon the break. We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to Inquisition Update. Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the second half hour of Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio. If you'd like to support this work, please support First Amendment Radio, who sponsors the program. Now, returning to the book, Romanism and the Reformation, by H. Grattan Guinness. Before the break, Guinness said, "We must learn afresh from divine prophecy God's estimate of the character of the Church of Rome if we would be moved afresh to be witnesses for Christ against this great apostasy, Roman Catholicism." The great apostasy. The man of sin, the son of perdition. H. Grattan Guinness was supremely concerned for the state of Protestantism in England at the time. Not only had she gone to sleep and forgotten the Antichrist, but she was threatened from within. A new doctrine was being preached, a new interpretation of Bible prophecy that said, no, the papacy's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a single individual, not a dynasty of popes, but a single individual that would not arrive on the world scene until the very end. So there was no need to be concerned. And the Protestants went to sleep. And we're still asleep, despite the sounding of the trumpet by H. Grattan Guinness. He continues, "As Protestants, as Christians, as free men, as philanthropists, as those who are acquitted with the teachings of history, of those who are acquainted with the teachings of history, we deplore the existing state of things. We regard all these changes as a retrograde movement of the most dangerous character, and we feel constrained to renew the grand old protest to which the world owes its modern acquisitions of liberty, knowledge, peace, and prosperity. We recognize it as a patent and undeniable fact that the future of our race lies not with papists, but with Protestants. Its leading nations this day are not papal Italy, Spain, or Portugal, but Protestant Germany, England, and America. What has made the difference? The nations that embraced the Protestant Reformation movement of the 16th century have never since ceased to advance in political power, social prosperity, philanthropic enterprise, and general enlightenment, while the nations that refused it and held fast to the corruptions of Rome have as steadily retrograded in all these respects. Quote, by their fruits ye shall know them," unquote. The present course of lectures is intended to arouse afresh attention to the great controversy between the Church of Rome and evangelical churches. In this war, the Roman army stands on the one side and Protestantism in one unbroken phalanx on the other. The regiments of Rome wear but one scarlet uniform, fly but one papal flag, and use in their religious ceremonies but one dead language, Latin. The Protestant army, on the other hand, consists of many divisions, clad in different uniforms, flying different flags, and speaking different tongues. But, like the composite hosts of Germany in the struggle with France, they are all the stronger for their voluntary union. They can cordially join in the great struggle. the secondary denominational differences existing between Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and nonconformists are all lost.